And it's good that they showed us, because the technology crashed and burned at Xerox. And what? They used to call the... What's that?
No, I was just...
Why?
Yeah, why?
Oh, very... I actually thought a lot about that, and I learned more about that with John Sculley later on, and I think I understand it now pretty well. What happens is, like with John Sculley, John came from PepsiCo, and they at most would change their product, you know, once every 10 years. I mean, to them, a new product was like a new size bottle, right? So if you were a product person, you couldn't change the course of that company very much. So who influenced the success of PepsiCo? The sales and marketing people. Therefore, they were the ones that got promoted, and therefore, they were the ones that ran the company. Well, for PepsiCo, that might have been okay, but it turns out the same thing can happen in technology companies that get monopolies, like, oh, IBM and Xerox. If you were a product person at IBM or Xerox, so you make a better copy or a better computer, so what? When you have a monopoly market share, the company's not any more successful. So the people that can make the company more successful are sales and marketing people. And they end up running the companies. And the product people get driven out of the decision-making forums. And the companies forget what it means to make great products. It sort of the product sensibility and the product genius that brought them to that monopolistic position gets rotted out by people running these companies who have no conception of a good product versus a bad product. They have no conception of the craftsmanship that's required to take a good idea and turn it into a good product. And they really have no feeling in their hearts, usually, about wanting to really help the customers.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, all the things that have gone on, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that were said in that video. I'm not one for pointing to Uncle Steve as a messianic character, but those sound like prophetic words to me. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on, there's a few surprises coming our way, potentially. Oh, Jesus, Doc.
That's not me. My computer didn't do anything.
Someone's just pinged, and it's not me.
Oh, man.
It's definitely not me.
Got to be you. Adam, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm good. I'm drinking Bundaberg root beer, which is lovely. You're doing remarkably well, considering the events of the last sort of 48 hours. And Chris Cameron,
we just smile and carry on. I control the things that I can control and don't worry about the things that I can't.
Good man. Excellent way of looking at things. A superb philosophy.
It's the best way to handle it. Otherwise, you just got to cry.
Yeah, no, don't take to the streets, mate. It's just not worth it. Next to him, a little bit more upset, Dot Rock.
Yeah, but I agree with Adam, and I say that same thing. Like, I control what I can control, whatever, but I'm not stoic. Let's just put it that way. I try to be stoic, but I'm not stoic.
Is Hawaii traditionally Democrat?
Yeah.
I would have thought so. Yeah.
And again, it's not the party things. Again, like, you know, it's the outlash of the people who've been hiding their, you know, racism, decide to just let it out now. Like, it's cool. That's the only thing that bothers me. And it's different. I mean, Adam's not going to get the same yelling and screaming that I'm going to get. That's not saying he's not affected by it. But, like, I get the comments already. And I'm like, bro, it's been 24 hours. Relax. And I've been trained to kill you.
My biggest frustration that I haven't lashed out or reacted to, and I know it's not... because it's not a real thing, but the guilt by association that is being thrust upon me as a privileged white male by the internet is a little bit frustrating.
Yes, I said the same thing to my friend yesterday. I go, the biggest victims of everything are going to be the non-racist white people. We've been used to getting yelled at kind of crap from here to time, whatever. So we're just going to get more of it for the next couple of months. But the guys who are the innocent bystanders, the guys who don't do anything, the guys like you, you're just real cool cats, you're going to catch heat and side eye or whatever from tuned up people that have nothing to do with you. That's the only thing that bothers me.
Yeah. So I just ignore it. I mean, it's just like the same thing I have to deal with, you know, podcast trolls or internet trolls or anything else. I mean, it's the same sort of thing. I know who I am and I'm solid with that. And I know my feelings and my beliefs and, yeah, I just have to resolve to be okay with that. But it does sometimes get frustrating when you're on Twitter and you're like, you know, people are calling you out on things. It's like, no, you're lumping me. You know, it's the same. It's the same thing in reverse, I guess. You know, it's the same thing
exactly
that you're reacting to, Doc. You know, it's like you get lumped in, you know, as a group. And yeah, it's just frustrating.
On that happy note, next to him, Patrice, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. It's a stressful week with everything going on, but I'm very happy.
My European because... brother for a little bit longer.
Yes. For a little bit.
I've come to the conclusion that Patrice sometimes looks like the Joker.
Your lighting is quite harsh, actually, yeah, and you've always got a big grin on your face. I think it works. Stick with it, man. Just don't do the wobbly bloodlines like what's his face did in the Dark Knight. Legend, yeah. And last but by no means least, the man who dialed in with seconds gone, not to spare.
Simon. Evening.
It's Crop It Camps. How you doing, mate?
I'm not bad.
What is it with you and the crop? You have a nice little round view. I put it in and it looks sweet. And then all of a sudden you hack it down so I can't see anything below your chin. Have you got your Jeff Boycott t-shirt on or something?
No, I've not done anything. I don't know why it's looking like that.
It's the software then. No.
It's on web. Let me see if check webcam settings is running and we'll see if that improves.
Yeah, anything. That does a little bit of thing so that it can do pan and zoom, doesn't it? So, The week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? Apart from Apple might be running by marketing people now as opposed to product people.
We're going to go down that path.
And no, we're not. And
you really believe that?
No, I do. Yeah.
You do. I know you do. So I think we do need to talk about this.
I do believe. I said last week I smell Aaron's on this. So it's a Burberry thing. Let's make it really, really expensive, even though it doesn't fit. I mean, I've sat and used my MacBook Pro the last 2 days because we've had a plaster in the house. So I've worked from home as opposed to working in the office. And it's not just a case of going backwards from a Mac Pro that chews through video like no one's business to a MacBook Pro. That's only a year old. The thing was like it was hot enough to melt through to China on my lap this afternoon, and it was hard work. It's really been a painful experience for me the last couple of days to work with it. So, you know, the new one's not exactly any better, and it's certainly not a pro machine. That one that I bought
This is a 2015 model.
2015, yeah, and it's not a pro model. It's not a pro by any stretch of the imagination. But that's not one of me to gripe about.
That's just the machine that I have, but I I'm not trying to edit. I don't know what you were doing. I'm assuming editing HD video.
Yeah, I mean, I do that. I mean, not as often as you do, Ewan, but I do that every couple of weeks, and I don't have any issue with it. I mean, yes, it's hard. As I said in Slackroom, yeah, I don't have a Mac Pro to compare it with. Sorry?
You've got 2 weeks to finish rendering. I haven't. I've started editing the next 3 clips by the time it hasn't rendered out the first.
Yeah.
But I mean, so you would never, here's the thing on this though, is you would never really consider a MacBook Pro, right, as a system for doing what you want to do. You'd never buy that as your desktop.
No, God no.
Right.
It's just not powerful enough.
Yeah. So it's a pro laptop for people who need a pro laptop, but for somebody who is a pro, a different kind of pro, it's not the machine that you would consider.
Okay, but my 17-inch MacBook 2008 MacBook that I had, MacBook Pro I had, that chewed through video. That did well. That was a good computer that ran fairly quickly. And it won't run, because it was running FCP 7.
Right.
But it turned out 1080p video pretty easily. It wasn't horrific in terms of speed. So moving on. Apple takes 104% of all smartphones. For those of you that are having trouble with statistics, if there's a pot of profits, you can't have 104% of them. Sorry for all the twats that are thinking that you can. Tim Cook, we're not having a discussion on that, Jesus Christ. Apple CEO Tim Cook calls for unity in a memo to staff following the Trump victory. Let's not do politics. please. We did that before the show, and that was a bad idea. I think this is quite significant for this, because number one, Trump probably wants Tim Cook deported because he's gay. number two, he probably is going to have him in the dungeons of the White House with electrodes to his nuts saying, bring all the money back in because I've got nothing to build me wall with. I think this is quite significant for Apple, quite significant. And also, Tim was going to be Hillary's running mate potentially for a while, so that marks him for assassination, doesn't it, by Trump. That's a joke, by the way, before anyone writes in, Jesus Christ.
No, it really is strange a little bit. I mean, that a CEO of a big company feels compelled to do that, feels compelled to, send this email to his people.
And why is it strange? Have you been to Apple campus?
It wasn't meant to be a confrontational statement, Doc.
But no, it's not. I'm saying it's not strange. If you've been to Apple campus, it's not strange at all. Because I have been, and I've lived there for a while. So as you traipse around the campus, bro, you might as well be at World's Expo or the United Nations proper. And yeah, so sure. With the amount, just go look at the names if you do an about on Final Cut, Pages, Keynote, whatever, right? And then you get a good gist of the real Apple, not just the guys you see in the store. What happens with the guys you see in the store, you got a good visual of your local population. But when you see campus is amazing. And, I mean, it is really like the rainbow. So, yeah, I mean, I think he needs to because there's people that feel uneasy.
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong. I mean, I was thinking about that. I know that Apple campus is very diverse. I've never been there, but I've talked to plenty of people that work there. So I know it's very diverse. And, I mean, any company as big as Apple should be very diverse. And I know Apple is even striving to be that. I still find it a little bit strange. I mean, yes, you're probably right. It is about the people who feel uneasy about it and simply because they are from other nations don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's you're right about that. But I still feel it is a strange thing to do. I mean, it probably was necessary, absolutely, but it's still, I mean, would he have done it if it wasn't for Trump?
Yeah.
No, not. Because then people are not feeling the way they're feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a CEO looking after his people. He'd probably just put out there as a general statement, we're all in this together, rather than let's worry about it. I think it's probably just a bit of almost a people engagement activity that he's pulling there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Steve would have done so, but he's just a different kind of person. Steve was a task person, and Tim's kind of a people person with the task person in him. So I just think it goes to show his love for the food farm and the people that work there, and like, you know, hey guys, can let's get back on mission, but if you need help, we're here for you. And they always had a great support network. Anything you ever needed, we have numbers that we can call and talk to people. Like, it's pretty amazing for a company, the type of benefits that we had that worked on your internal, not just your external, and your ability to be a better, just like, wrench turner. So I give him credit for that.
I get the impression that Steve would have looked up from a desk when someone mentioned it to him and gone, who? Huh? Oh, him. He's an asshole. And that
would have been
the end.
He's a bozo.
That would have been the end of it. No, I think this is quite significant. And someone's preempted me in the chat room here. Because Trump needs money. He hasn't got money to do anything that he wants to do. And he's not going to get the budget out of the Senate because he might think he's got all the support of the GOP that sat in the Senate and the other place, Congress. But he's not going to get any budget through there because that means tax rises, and they're not going to go for tax rises. So he's going to have to sit down with Tim, and he's going to have to negotiate a real good way of getting money in from Apple to then get taxation from it.
Mm.
I can see an awful lot of American companies getting a massive tax payday.
Yep.
Bring your money back, and you can do it at 20 cents on the dollar, 15 cents on the dollar, 10 cents on the dollar, whatever it is.
Something, I think some of the reports being thrown around were 10%.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Mm. You know, I think the biggest challenge for us, which I've always thought has been kind of remiss in our country in general, is our best export right now is technology, and not just, you know, hardware, but the apps, you know, your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Snapchats and, you know, all of the above. Like, a lot of these really massive tech companies, tech companies that basically grew up within the last 5 to 10 years that are worth billions and billions of dollars. It's literally one of our best GDP items, but we're still not training kids to program in school yet. No one's in the government side has figured out this is what we should be working on. Like, we're not putting money into raising developers. We not, you know, we don't have a thing. All the colleges, okay, let's start spitting out some people that know how to program. So we're kind of missing on that note. And if everybody's looking for a way to fix some of our, you know, problems, you know, money-wise, I think one of the best things would be, let's start focusing on the stuff that we're super, super good at besides football and baseball.
But I think the problem you've got is that tech is not your major export. Tech is actually your major import, because most of the money that's made from it is overseas. And when you start importing vast amounts of cash, that's not an export.
And the more that we create these fantastic apps and hardwares and stuff that requires, you know, developing things outside of the country, the bigger that gap is going to become. But we definitely need to put more focus on getting the kids trained. I think that's globally. It's not just us. I think everybody needs to put more focus on getting that next generation, starting from the kids graduating high school now, and just develop programs where, you know, you're like, I really need to study history. No, I'd rather know how to program and logic. Like, history should be an elective. Programming should be mandatory.
Deepan in the chat room has said that a comment to Mueller that once Trump becomes POTUS, he's no longer allowed to run any of his businesses. That's not true. That's not true at all. He definitely can. He just isn't going to. He said he's going to pass over to the kids and focus on being a good POTUS. Someone said today as well that he's got such a big ego that he couldn't stand the thought of being thrown out of office and being remembered as a crap president, so he'll probably do a decent job. But we're not doing politics. Moving on. AirPods will launch next week.
I spent the money already.
According to this, hello, I've just talked with an employee of the Conrad online store. Since I'm on there on 1410, the AirPods ordered, and I want to cancel them. According to information from an employee, there's stockpiles of 1711, and we'll have them between November 18th and 19th. I don't think, even Apple employees don't know that, so I can't see how a reseller's going to know that.
Yeah.
I smell horse shit all over that.
Yeah, I agree.
We're just going to ignore it then. We're not going to go get excited.
Well, we will know in a week.
Oh, you lot are boring.
Yeah.
I think we got excited.
The most interesting thing about that to me is I'm actually considering ordering them.
Yes.
When they're available.
How many? Because the thing is, the event when they went and there's the earpods and everyone went, oh, and I was ready with 300 quid. Like, I want some. And now I've gone without them for 6 weeks. I'm kind of like, well, yeah,
that is such a true statement, Ewan. Like, the longer you make somebody wait for certain things, after a while you don't care anymore. And I think I just going to get them because I told myself I was going to get them. And in a way, I'm kind of hoping that I hate them so I can return them and get the money back. But I agree with you. A lot of that initial fizz, like that burning in my pocket sensation, has succeeded a long time ago. And I actually bought like 3 bottles of whiskey with that money already.
And drank it.
The problem is whenever they do hit, they're going to be impossible. It's going to be like the Apple Pencil all over again.
Maybe that's why they're I forgot to mention I've got a challenge for you all before the end. Roger wrote in, I can't find his email now, but Roger wrote in and he said, I challenged the panel today to remember the last product launch from Apple that wasn't f***ed up.
Define f***ed up.
Well, I don't think you need to define the term f***ed up, but I've got to bleep that for me, 16, 24. So, but I sat and thought to myself, hang on, iPad Pro. iPad Pro was absolutely gorgeous. And then someone in my head went, pencil. Oh, no, okay, that's screwed up. Yeah, no. So I can't
remember.
But the
pencil and the Pro aren't together, right? They're 2 separate launches, or are you lumping them?
No, they were at the same event, so I'm lumping them. Ah. So in my head, last time they had an event, and it was smooth as silk, and I can't think. I can't. I've had a real.
What are you talking? I mean, are you talking about the ordering process? Are you talking about availability? Are you talking about? I mean, what are you talking about?
Oh, I don't know. It's Roger. Ask Roger what he was talking about.
So I guess we need clarification on the question, because I would argue that, you know, the iPhone 6S launches were ultimately fine, but I mean, Apple had server issues, but they've had server issues since the very first iPhone launch.
No, I don't think activation would be because activation would be a you know, just a massive dump of people wanting to activate at the same time or downloading something. I wouldn't say that.
I'm not talking about activation. I'm just even talking about ordering, like, you know, being there on midnight and trying to order your phone. I know I had problems with the 6S launch.
So that's
and a lot of other people did, but
I'd say that falls in the definition of
in the chat room. Deepan just said iPod socks.
That's it. Deep Pan wins. I can't think of anything more recent than that. No.
Dang. That beat my Bondi Blue by 4 years.
So, there we go. The MacBook Pro Retina display.
I didn't know. I would say. I mean, I got one.
I think it would be a MacBook Pro. Yeah. Definitely. Good challenge, Roger, although no one's taking part. They're poo-pooing it and making fun of it because they want more clarification. So. I don't think he's going to write in with a definition for next week.
Yes.
Come back
you
next week.
You know I'm German. We'll I need a definition.
I'll eat that. I'll put it at the
when
end.
Is it, oh, I mean, when has anybody ever done a tech launch that's not messed up?
I don't know. It was just a question.
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Shoot, like, the messenger. Technology, Jesus Christ.
It's, you know, demand. It's like managing all that stuff is... apparently very hard.
I think what he's trying to put across perhaps is that there's an awful lot that's gone wrong of late with the products people.
I think part of that just has to do with pure size. Like, you know, it's easy as heck to move the love seat. It's easy as heck to move the chair. But sometimes when you get that big old sofa, it starts to get a little heavy. Imagine a sofa with, what is it, on launch day, 31 countries and a couple of billion folks. Like, it's a different game now. We can't even use those arguments anymore. It's like when people start yelling about sports and they start talking about, you know, the way best play versus the way like a Marcus Rashford play. The game is not the same. And Georgie's my guy. Like, he's my hero. Like, I pray to that dude at night. But it's not the same thing. Like, you can't even put them in the same ballpark anymore.
Yeah.
Especially because nowadays those guys can't get in fights on the field and they can't tackle to blood. Like, they can barely get touched without getting carded. So there's so many differences and nuances that you can't actually compare them apples to apples.
I mean, we can drop back to launching in 7 countries again. I mean, it went pretty smoothly back then.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, is that what we want?
As long as I'm one of those countries.
Yeah.
We're because we're always UK, 1 and 2. So.
Make China wait a couple of months.
Screw everyone else. No, China are probably the ones that
are causing all the problems. Has Germany ever had to wait for a launch day? Or are you guys always on day one with us?
Yeah, single one. Definitely. I mean, the first couple of iPhones we got usually a month later.
Yeah. Oh, see, there we go. It's a different game now. Patrice is a day one soldier.
Yep.
We'd have to start hearing from Shadwell all over again complaining.
Oh, no, he's... In fact, I don't think Shadwell's got the iPod socks yet.
Shad's ears are burning right now.
Always. There's a report out. Apple's new MacBook Pro has surpassed the total sales of almost all other notable laptops in the first 5 days. This has come from Slice Intelligence, who I think have stuck a pin in a piece of paper because this sounds like bollocks.
Well, I mean, Slice really is just checking emails, and that that's not a good number. I kind of, every time they put out a report,
did
I
they do your exit polls this week?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they did.
I mean, you're joking about that, but that's kind of when you get numbers from Slice, you've kind of got to take that tact with them. You know, they're interesting in terms of showing, I mean, all this is showing is that there are a lot of people ordering new MacBook Pros. It doesn't give you any information on or background on why or how. My suspicion is a lot of this is pent-up demand. I mean, there's a lot of pent-up demand for these machines.
Yeah, so there could be a few people going cancel in a few days.
Yeah, that you know, there could be that too. I mean, there's... So you got to look at, you know, how many does Apple sell in 10 months, and some of these other machines have been out. But I guess they're already past that, supposedly, according to Slice. So,
does anyone know? Because according to these figures, it would indicate there's a possibility of this. Does anyone know anyone who's ordered one of the brand new ones who said it's going to come in 3 weeks, and they got a pushback email going 6 to 8 weeks or 8 to 12 weeks?
I know Jerry ordered one. Let me text him real quick.
Okay, because that would be interesting. Because I've got to say, if there's anyone that's ordered one of these and it's gone, nah, sorry, off you go, back to 8 to 12 weeks or something like that, I'm going to call BS on it, because there's no way that Apple have vastly underestimated this many MacBook Pros at that price, at that low an upgrade of spec. There's more people gone, nah, I think I'll wait, than there is that have jumped on the ship and said, I'm definitely buying.
I think there's a lot more people that are very positive about this machine than you think.
Yeah, I would buy one if it wasn't that expensive.
So it's not that popular then, is it? That was my point. You've just said one of the criteria.
It's not about the machine, it's about the price here in Europe.
That's one of the factors I just mentioned. Yeah. People have looked at it and gone, looked at this price and looked at the spec and gone, I think I'll leave it. I'll rewind in my head. That's what I definitely said.
And here's what, this is something that I thought at first too, but the stuff that I'm hearing and the stuff that I'm seeing now, you know, a couple weeks later, is going counter to that. So yes, there is a portion of people that are doing exactly what you're saying, Ewan. I'm just arguing, I think it's much smaller percentage than at least I initially thought.
Yeah, no, because I'm making it up off the top of my head. I totally accept I may be wrong. Got no issue with that at all.
I'm gonna add a caveat to what I said. I have a 2015 machine, so yeah, the upgrade is not that huge.
These slice numbers do back up what Phil Schiller said. You know, he said this was like the biggest launch for them that they've ever had for MacBook in terms of sales. Well, so,
and Jerry confirmed his time is the same as it was from the first time he ordered it. It's still 17 to 25 November.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's still on the three.
Which is a weird window. Like, that's a big window for Apple. I don't remember seeing windows that long.
No, they kind of do it.
They do that.
Yeah, they did that with my iPhone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm okay with that. They give you a week band and it tends to arrive at the start of that week. So.
Oh, yeah. 17 to 25 is only a week. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Is there only Doc then that knows somebody in the real world that's ordered one? I don't know anybody that's ordered one already. I know lots of people who said they want to go into an Apple store and see it, have a play with it, feel the touch bar, and decide then whether they want to order it. But ultimately, these are people that would have been day one orders in the past, but Price absolutely said, I want to go look at it before I even consider splashing that kind of money.
I definitely would have ordered one day one,
but I just couldn't wait, and I really needed a new machine. And after talking to Ewan and some other cats in the chat in the Slack room, send you an email. I just decided to go with an iMac, and this is my first desktop in quite a long time, and I'm so glad I went this way.
I don't even know anyone that likes it, and that includes you four fanboy saddos.
Yeah, the whole concept of sticking to 16 gigs is so weird to me.
I would have been buying one had my machine not died and Apple given me the deal on this 2015. I would have been in line because my machine at that point was about 6 years old. So I probably would have been ordering one. I was waiting to see what Apple was going to do, but then because mine died, they let me get this 2015 one at half off. So,
but I think you're better off probably by about $1,600.
But
that's because I get a discount. Had I gotten to the point where I needed a new machine and that was the one that was available to me, I think I would have ordered that one over the 2015 model.
There's a lot of people that I've heard from who said, I really do need a new machine, so I bought one of last year's stock.
Well, I'm possibly in that.
That's good too.
I'm on an early 2011, 2013, and this was the year that I was ready to upgrade. And I'm not jumping up and down about it. I want to go in and have a look. I'm not going to be spending $2,500 on the Pro. So I'm thinking, do I want to buy one of the 2015s, or do I go to an iMac now?
You know, the thing to me that I think the biggest turnoff right now is definitely the price. It's just something we're not used to. And the funny part is for me is like, I got to eat a lot of crow because I have said over and over again, because I've been right over and over again, Apple never changes the price. It's always the same as it has been. The only last time they changed the price, they dipped it by $100. So this is great. No, don't worry.
The Retina MacBook Pro was, I think, $300 more expensive when they came out.
No, but in general, like, you know, I understand Retina was a different ball game because it was a different monitor.
Yeah, but they do it
And actually, you know, Champion brings up a
good... wasn't prepared for it, and I just don't feel that the current value proposition of what they're asking for and what it really is for the first time in the longest time for me, does not align.
Mm-hmm.
That's called getting bent over, mate. That's the word you're looking for.
I mean,
excuse me?
The word you're looking for are getting bent over.
Well, you're not only bent over if you actually buy one, so I'm not bent over yet. I saw the size of the schlong and ran.
I knew you'd find a positive in that. So go on, Adam.
Well, one, I don't think people, I mean, yes, it's more expensive, and yes, you're paying extra, but I don't think it's as awful as a machine as everybody's trying to play it off as after looking into it much more closely. I don't even think it's all that overpriced, to be honest. But Champion, what he was saying is probably right, too. Had I actually had to get to the upgrade point this time around, because of my iPad Pro and how I use that, and the fact that my MacBook Pro is a desktop most of the time, I think actually I wouldn't have gone for the last year's model. I probably would have taken a 27-inch 5K iMac. Either that or said I'm going to wait, you know, for the 3 months and see if Apple does something with the iMac in the spring, which I think they're probably going to do.
Yeah.
So, and I think there might be a lot of people that are doing that, going, you know what, do I really need, now that I have a tablet and I have a large screen smartphone, do I really need a mobile computing device anymore? And I think there's a lot of people that are also just deciding, you know what, I don't need a laptop anymore. I'm going to go back to a desktop, which is a whole interesting thing that I never thought I would have seen. I thought everything was going to notebooks and people were going to ultimately dump their desktops.
But that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying about the factors of the spec versus the price.
Right.
And people are sitting there going, not sure I need this. I can get by. I'm fine. It's okay. And I think that Apple have just gone over that point where people would have spent $2,500 without worrying, but when it gets to three, they're going, nah, sorry, mate, keep it. Not happy. Not having that.
I think people were already going down that path. I think regardless of what Apple did, people were already moving down
that
path.
So the price was just the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think so, yeah, maybe.
Okay. I'm fine with 16 gigs, says Patrice.
Yeah, I definitely am.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not arguing that some people need 32 and some don't. That's not the point. I mean, some people need 128 gigabytes. That's just how you use the thing. I'm fine with 16 gigabytes.
By the way, the term pro has got so many different variations. You get somebody who's a pro writer, the MacBook Pro absolutely probably does what they need it to do. You get people like Ewan who's crunching video, Doc who's doing design and vectors and everything that's running on there. And maybe 16 borderline might be good enough, might absolutely not be. And the pro market is just so wide.
Yep.
You know, and again, like I say, like to me, I just can't get my head around being stuck at 16 gigs. This current iMac is sitting on 32, and maybe I don't even need the 32. And the programs are being realigned. The new Final Cut runs extremely well on my old 16 gig 2012 MacBook Pro. So maybe they knew what they were doing, but it just feels weird to put that limitation. And it's like for us, we've always been hard drive greedy. To tell us that you can only have a 500 gig hard drive would drive us all nuts. Luckily, we have options. So somewhere between the flash memory being super expensive, which I just read somewhere is now replaceable or is replaceable, so don't worry about that. OWC will be on the cut very soon. I just felt weird about that. And so, again, it may come around, and maybe next year when the next release comes, they'll pull the price back down and some of the craziness will go away.
Isn't there a shortage of flash memory at the moment? Did I read
that? I believe there is. I saw that somewhere,
that might, too. That might be another reason why they haven't bothered.
I think I heard it on MacCast.
Because it's going to cost too much money.
Wait, what words are you putting in my mouth?
I think I heard, didn't you talk about the flash memory shortage, or was that Ken?
No, that wasn't me.
Yeah, well, then you didn't do your job, damn it. I'm joking.
I don't know about flash memory shortages.
I like to listen to Adam and Ken when I'm taking a shower.
Sorry?
I'm joking.
Ryan,
actually, not joking. That's honest got truth. I listen to those two podcasts when I wake up, and oftentimes I'm in the bathroom taking a dump or taking a shower, and I'm listening to Adam. It's kind of weird.
I've got something in my head, but I can't repeat it. Cams, were you going to say something there, mate?
Yeah, I think the other thing I want to say is around the 16 gig of RAM, for a lot of people, okay, that might be enough now, but nobody buys a Mac for sort of 6 to 12 months. Most prosumers probably buy them for the maybe the 3 to 5 year range. And 16 gig of RAM in sort of even in 3 years, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near enough by the time apps have come on, and we're going to be crunching more stuff then. Don't know what other people think about that.
It's weird. Like I think we're just, like as I mentioned last week, we're just in this weird transition, and we're seeing things that are just different from the way we're used to. And it does, someone moves your cheese, it definitely throws a little wrench in your plan. I just think tech in general is just in this really, really odd stopgap between long hair and short hair, and they have no idea how to style it yet.
Have you got an opinion like that in English?
Yeah,
I didn't get that. So hang on, someone moves my what? And rents my plan, and then what do they do?
No. What I'm saying, I said this last week. What I'm saying is technology in general, through all companies, are in this weird spot right now. It's one of those like crossovers, right? Somewhere between mobile, somewhere between cloud, somewhere between desktop to what we've all become accustomed to. And there's this like growth in all these different areas, and it's just the whole industry is a little bifurcated at this moment, and there's... nobody really has a direction as to where we're moving forward. You know what I'm saying? Like there's so many different various things going on. So some of the stuff that we're talking about, storage, for instance, or flash memory, some of that's going away because a lot of the stuff can now be handled by the cloud. Doesn't work for us with really large images, but for the everyday user, they can store almost their whole life in the cloud now because the speeds are getting there. So what does that do for the hard drive manufacturers? You know, like it's... yeah, we're just in a weird spot.
They simply produce enterprise class hard disks.
I can't.
Which you never hear about.
I would have some time for Apple if they sat down and said, "Look, we could give you that, but it would cost you too much. We could give you that, but they won't let you fly with it in an airplane. We could give you this, but it would sap the battery." And if they went through all of that and said it out loud, I'd have, okay, that's a good logic. I like that. I like what you've done with the product. Well done. But they don't. And they come out with this, you know, it's just an Apple. It's so good it's an Apple. If you have to ask the price, you shouldn't be having one. And in fact, actually, you know, there'll be no prices in Apple stores next year. That's it. You just walk in and you hand over your credit card. And whatever it is what it is, you know. Because if you want an Apple, then that's it.
Oh, man.
And all the chavs will have one. But it won't be. You know, it's just... I don't know. Anyway, Apple has wiped 25%. If you thought you were getting bent over before, they've had an ability to wipe 20% off the markup that they've got on 5K and 4K displays. Don't tell me they're selling them at a loss, because I don't believe it.
No, they're not selling them at a loss.
I saw a great video this week that said, we've told you for years that we don't like shiny screens, and lo and behold, the two screens that you're selling at 5K and 4K in the Apple store are matte finish screens. No one's listening. That's a really good point. Everyone
These LG displays you're talking about?
Yeah, everyone hates shiny screens. And
these are
they're
matte.
Not listening. No, these are LG ultrafine 5K and 4K displays. They've been dropped by...
I know that. Are they matte finish displays or are they glossy displays?
They're matte finish displays.
Of course they are.
So what did you ask me then?
No. I'm saying I didn't know. And I was asking for clarification.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
What you were saying. And then I said, oh, yeah. Then of course they are.
Yeah. No, it was an Aussie, right? And it was a good video, actually. It was, and it pointed out some real things. It was meant to be funny, but there was bits in it that you kind of like, that's a really good point. You know, you haven't listened to things that people have been saying for all along. I've been saying, I cannot stand frigging shiny screens. It's why I haven't got Apple displays in here. I hate them. I absolutely loathe them. I can't stand the shininess on my MacBook. I hate it.
At these reduced prices, you know, these displays are very enticing to me.
They are.
These LG ones.
I mean, they're nice.
Adam, the Black Friday has the Best Buy selling it for $499, which is about $150 off.
Is that the 4K?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 4K one.
So Apple's selling those at $524, and you're saying Best Buy selling them at $499.
Well, that's just a Black Friday sale, you know, pre-release kind of stuff. I just popped the link in the chat, but I don't know if that's going to help you a lot. But
$25 cheaper.
But American cats, you can get it.
Is that's a 27 though? Apple's selling the 21, right? In the 4K, they're not even selling.
Are they
selling
both 27
or 21?
Let's double check.
Yeah. So those of you listening in England, we're sorry we're going through Best Buys at the moment. But
No. this is that Apple question. The one that Apple is selling for $529 is only a 21.5 inch, I think, right? Or a 21 inch
right.
display.
Okay.
Is that correct? I'm asking for clarity, because that's what I thought it was.
I've just opened the link, and the link takes me to apple.com, and it says it's a 5 to 6 week delay on Affinit as well. 21.5 inch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I don't think this LG one is the ultrafine display either, Doc.
Yeah, no, this is the ultrafine 4096 by 2304, 21.5 inch LG ultrafine 4K display.
Oh.
And the other one is the 5K display, and it is 27 inch ultrafine, and it's 5120 by 2880 pixels.
Oh, yep.
With a single.
So I got mad sidetracked by something called a Rolly's light pad block. I'm like, sorry, I got shiny object by the Apple Store.
Okay. Headlamps. USB-C connectors have also tumbled in price, allegedly.
Yeah, they cut them, making them half off.
Half off, yeah. $19 down to $9, $49 down to $29, $69 down to $49. All the USB-C. I mean, this is where I find my opening statement that was like, you know, it's driven by the marketing people. The one thing you don't do if you are trying to say this is an elite brand is cut everything. And they've cut the prices of all the stuff that attaches to this thing. And
after the fact. And if they had done it immediately.
And no one's going to buy a $3,000 laptop because you took $10 off the USB-C connector. So I don't know why they've done it, to be honest. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It would have been better for leaving the dongles and wiping a couple of $100 off the MacBook to bring the sales in.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Again, they're not, I mean, if you want to believe Apple, they're not having to reduce prices or do anything to bring the sales in.
Allegedly,
you
want to
believe
no.
them. You either take them at face value and say, yes, that's what's happening, or you don't. But, I mean, as far as sales,
Apple's
official line is we're having no trouble selling these MacBook Pros.
According to the Slice Intelligence dartboard, they're going great guns.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We've had some reviews. Thank you to those people that have bothered to sit and write a review this week. We've had two each for, or we've had three, but I'll tell you about that one in a minute. We've had two each. So those of you who follow on Twitter will know that I had a real set to with a guy the other week. And I thought to myself, he's so upset with me, he's going to leave a negative review on the show and I'll find out who he is then. And actually, this is hilarious. So this is a guy that I blocked on Twitter under a different name 2 years ago and who swore he'd never listen to the show again. The sad has been listening to the show under an assumed name. And he's written another negative review on top of the one he wrote 2 years ago. So I'm not reading it out. You only get one negative review. Piss off. Next one, I'd give this 6 stars if I could. Ewan, the team do a great job with his light-hearted look at the week in all things Apple. However, I feel there is something missing ever since that watershed moment when Will Green picked his own arse for pick of the week. mine, ever since then, he appears to have been barred from the show. No, that wasn't it at all. He just doesn't come. I feel a conspiracy theory brewing. Keep up the great work, guys. Doc, play it cool. Adam, keep up the good work, guys. Doc, play it cool. Adam, you're a wizard. Patrice, good luck in your continued quest invading European countries. Ewan, liking your work, but don't forget to learn the shortcuts in the interests of full disclosure. Greeny did not pay me to big him up in this epic proportion of this review. Thank you to Jackpot on that one. The other one that we've got is from Grown Up Geek, and he says, this has truly been a revelation, informed debate with a great panel, not the usual fanboy stuff. That's the person I talked about earlier. With the guests not afraid to criticise when they're justified. A great community around the show that engages outside of show times. BTN are produced with some great stuff and deserves higher praise than it gets. Thanks very much, everyone. Long may it continue. And I agree. I think we deserve far higher praise than we get.
Well, at least we do.
Couldn't agree with me more on that. God, I've got some great opinions.
I don't know about you.
Yeah. I've had to put on my Twitter panel because this week I've really ripped the piss out of the Americans. and I've had to put on my Twitter panel, this is the Twitter account of Ewan Rankin. The views expressed here may not reflect the views of Ewan Rankin. Can we have a 2016 version of Greeny's Arse with Touch Bar? This show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely brilliant. We love them to bits. Please support them. We couldn't do the show without them. They've got the servers, they've got domain names. Lee Garrett tweeted out this week, thanks to UK2 for supporting British Tech, and I've just picked up another couple of domains from you, as well as anything that you want for the web, anything at all, co-location services, VPS, VPN, hosting, domain names, it's all there. Please go to them. Go through our link, though. So britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account. We get kudos for that. No money. And then go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll get all the offer codes there for UK2 as well to get money off your basket. And there's tons of money coming off your basket. And it even applies if you're renewing. It's not just for new customers. So when you're renewing your domain, make sure you use the offer code names. And thanks to Hoya, Unicus will be here. Will be here after Christmas. There'll be a video of me getting my face measured and a video of it being made, and it's going to look awesome. I cannot wait for this. This is just the best thing ever. Check out Hoya, podcast@hoya.co.uk. If you don't want the new system because you don't want frames, you want the ones I've got on, the Avantech, then write to that email address and they will organise an appointment for you. They'll do the whole face measuring thing with the iPad and the Prism. And you'll have custom-made glasses that are built for you. Hoya are brilliant. Thanks to them for supporting us as well. They gave us one of the Mac Minis, and we'd be lost without them. They're brilliant too. Right. Time for the cool things. I got a feeling this is going to be good this week, and I got a feeling it's going to cost me a fortune. I don't know what it is. I can feel it in me water. Right. Have they got a large machine to measure your face? Thanks, mate. He's just not got a big head. Adam.
Well, I'm going to pick something that's going to cost you nothing, but maybe time and, I don't know, maybe a little bit of risk. Because I'm actually going to pick something that I have not even tried or used.
It's a Tesco
yet.
Online bank account. No?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's cool enough that I think it's worth checking out. And as soon as I upgrade to Mac OS Sierra, I plan to do it.
It's a Google Chrome bank plugin.
Nope. it is a GitHub project, and it's called the Touch Bar Demo App. And what somebody has done is they've gone in and they figured out there's two things you can do here. One is simply a zip file that you can download. It's a pre-compiled app that you can run on any Mac, and that's running Mac OS Sierra 10.12.1, so the build that has the Touch Bar support in it, and it will simulate on screen the Touch Bar. So you can get a virtual touch bar so you can see how the touch bar reacts as you launch different applications, as you go into different areas of the system. You can see all that contextual stuff that the touch bar does.
And it actually works and interacts?
Yeah. Yeah, you can click on it, slide on it. Yeah.
How long before Apple kill this, you reckon?
I don't know. It's been out for over a week now. So
That's an ocean of time.
Yes.
In illegal apps.
And then the other thing you can do is if you want to pull the source from GitHub and run it through Xcode, you can actually compile a version that will run on your iPad, and you can connect your iPad directly to your Mac with a USB cable, and the touch bar will appear on your iPad, and you can swipe on it. You can use the touch bar functionality from an iPad.
Every person who listens to this show who's just ordered a new MacBook Pro has just cancelled.
You can kind of simulate. I don't know how well it works. Again, I haven't tried this. I haven't tested it out. They do have a video out there. I'm assuming it works fine. No jailbreaking or anything required. You don't have to do anything other than if you want to build it for the iPad, you have to have to download Xcode and build, compile, and sideload the project. But that's relatively straightforward, and they have instructions on the GitHub page that I gave you the link to on how to do that.
No, I mean, see, now this is where Apple could be really torn, couldn't they? Because there's a bit of this where they've got to go, oh, I've got to crush this, because if it's functional, then no one's going to buy a MacBook. But there's a bit of them going to be saying, well, people might actually look at this and go, actually, I really like this. I might buy a MacBook Pro now.
Yeah, it's a way to try it out and see if the touch bar is maybe something for you. I mean, it's not going to be as good as a touch bar because, again, you got to stick your iPad sort of in front of your trackpad, and, you know, there's no way to kind of really simulate it. But at least you can see how it behaves and
I think it's
what
I
and it's a solution for, I would say, geeks or nerds or anybody who has some technical knowledge anyway. So it's not for everybody.
It's a great tool for developers too, who just want to who are working on a project and want to see how their stuff is working with the touch bar. So,
but I think the touch bar is in the wrong location anyway. So if you can have it off to the side on an iPad, huzzah.
I agree, Ewan. One of the things that kind of puts me off the touch bar a little bit is I sit here with I've got an external keyboard. I've got it raised on a 12, my MacBook Pro on a 12 south stand. So leaning over the keyboard up, and I'd probably have to be sort of leaning up and looking down on the touch bar because of the way I work. I think I'd find it awkward, but actually having that down at the side of where I'd normally have my mouse, just to be able to sort of touch backwards and forwards, that would interest me and potentially might mean that you don't necessarily need to buy the MacBook Pro with the touch bar, depending on what specs you need in the rest of the Mac.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how well this runs, how, you know, speedy it is or anything like that, but it's worth playing around with if you got the time and are running Sierra. So I just thought it was kind of cool.
I'm not a great one for coding, as everyone knows, but I'll have a go at this because I'm intrigued to see. I mean, especially
again, all the
like
code
color written, palettes.
So, I mean, the difficult part is just, you know, loading an index code and running compile and then sideloading the app onto your device.
Yeah, but it'd be great for skimming as well. I mean, it doesn't matter that it's not in in Final Cut. If it's
if you do play around with it and it works, let me know, because I haven't had, again, I have not had direct confirmation at how well it works.
I might have a review up after the weekend, mate. I'm excited.
Serena K or Serenac, however you want to say it, I believe there will be in the near future. Probably next WWDC event, we'll see it.
You're going to see
keyboard with a touch bar.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I mean, that's inevitable.
That would be great. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
I think that's probably going to rock a standalone. That's going to be, what, $300 keyboard?
Yeah, $200.
See, now that's the other thing as well.
$299. I think he's right. I think it's $299.
Yeah, but
$199.
That's a lot. That's vastly overpriced, I'd say. But the thing is, as well, because of the keyboard, of the fact that it sits down on the table, you could have the touch bar on the bottom here, then, which is a better ergonomic location by a long stretch. And I bet they're going to put it at the top and really screw it up. So,
hey, you know what's kind of cool? If the thing is open, then somebody else can make one just like a straight bar you put anywhere. It's just like a little bar, kind of like my pick, but bigger. You can just put it wherever you want and just generate one. So maybe we'll see some third-party touch bars. Who knows?
Yeah, I can see that getting stopped there. Oh, hang on. Apple Core. What's this?
That's the new touch bar.
Oh, allegedly, the Magic Keyboard 2 is going to have it, according to the story I'm looking at there, by Christian Hall.
Making keyboards great again.
What I'm hoping with this GitHub project is somebody takes this and maybe rolls it into a custom keyboard for iPad, so you have the virtual keyboard plus touch bar integrated into it.
That's going to mean an instant rewrite of the SDK, isn't it? cool pick. Like that. I'm going to have a play with that, definitely. Some risk, but worth it. Doc, yours is cool as well. I'm intrigued already. Go on, tell me more.
All right, so this is the Rolly Blocks. Rolly is a company that makes a really crazily expensive keyboard.
Is this the
keyboard
thing you found about 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
And it's your cool thing already?
Already, hell yeah, because my money is coming out. So basically, you're taking a combination of, like, say, the touch bar, but you're putting it into the square blocks that has DNA connectors that allow you to connect multiple blocks. And then they have two other smaller versions, one for live performances that allows you to do some of your cool DJ tricks. But then there's something called the loop bar, which will allow you to do, as you're doing production works, you can like call, load, and do all your looping and stuff. But instead of being constrained to just an iPad on your lap, which is a little hard to work with, you can put these things anywhere. And they're basically little miniature touch surfaces that have been set up into like, what's the word, like a 94-millimeter grid, like a square, and you can continually add more. If you see the YouTube video that I added, then you'll see like how nuts it can really get, but this is so intriguing, and I'm so about to knock this out. And the only thing I needed for the proof that this is, you know, hardcore rock star stuff is Steve Aoki, one of the world's greatest DJs from Hawaii. He says it's badass. It's badass.
Okay. The power of endorsement right there.
No doubt. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, they did the Aftertouch keyboard.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
That's awesome.
It's a super expensive keyboard, but everyone loves that keyboard, the Ryzen, the Grand.
Yeah, they gave that to Jamie, what's his name, Jamie McCullum, and he sounded like he couldn't play anything. He just sounded like a five-year-old with some pots and pans.
This thing is crazy. If you look at their keyboard, it's pretty insane. I wouldn't buy that. That's way too expensive.
Yeah,
but these little touch controllers are kick butt.
Yeah, new MacBook Pros on there before that.
How much do these little touch controllers cost?
$180 for just the regular block, and then $80 a piece for the little blocks, and they are available exclusively at the Apple Store.
Nice. And there's Noise, which is an app, isn't it, that you can use on your iPhone?
Yeah, the app is free. You can download the app if you want to play with it before you buy a Surface to see if you'll like it. You can download the app for free.
Cool.
Cool.
Patrice, what have you got for us?
I have something I bought on Amazon. So yes, I might cost you some money. This is the Griffin Dock Apple Watch.
It's got Prime on it.
It's got Prime on it. It's, I think, £17 or 16 something in the UK. It's just a simple Apple Watch dock. What I liked about it is that I can put the Apple Watch also in nightstand mode on it. And I really like that because I wanted a dock that works also nightstand. And this one does it. So cool. It's very simple. You can put just a standard Apple charging cable in it. You can wrap it around here, as you can see. And just works great. Looks good.
I like the wraparound because it is too long.
Yeah. Very simple, as I said, and really cheap, to be honest. It's plastic, but good enough. Quality is good enough.
All right, so Ewan, let's figure this out on Themaverse, and we just print our own.
probably could do that. Very simple.
£16.38. I can't be asked to print my own. It'd take me longer than that to get the thing working properly. I hate it at the minute. Me and that printer have fallen out big time. Not happy. Good pick.
This is cool, Patrice.
Camps.
I've gone for an iOS game this week. Run Gun Jump Gun. Bit of a retro gamer style. Literally two fingers.
Jetpack.
It's not far off Jetpack. It's one finger to push the jet, another to fire. 120 levels, no in-app purchases. One-off, nice, simple game. Bit of a morning motion thing if you want it to be that. But yeah, very, very playable, and at $229 UK, so what's that going to be, $299-ish US? It's a great little game.
It's cool. I like the old school feel to it.
Yeah. Retro feel. Plays really well.
Jetpack. It looks exactly like Jetpack.
I've been on quite a few conference calls this week, and I've played this lots.
Do you think you shouldn't have said that in case anyone from your employer...
No, nobody at work. Nobody
quiet,
at work listens
so quiet
to this.
During the episode.
Yeah, no one listens to this shit.
Yeah, great game.
Excellent. I've got Muller recommended Civ 6 on the Big Show last week, and I've downloaded it on the basis of that. It's cost me £44, and I'm struggling a bit with it, I have to say. So
with
the game Civ 6,
Civilization 6. Justifying the cost, or just time with the game?
It's really weird. It's like they come and beat the shit out of you, but if you start any fights with them, you get penalties and stuff, and it's just. So I'm struggling with that at the moment. I was going to pick that this week, but I can't yet. I just can't. Not happening.
Because it's too hard?
I haven't figured it out. It might not be too hard. It might be just because I'm an idiot.
I'm going to say I'm good at it.
if Muller can play it, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. A lot of those games for me are just too complicated. You know, I don't get as much enjoyment out of them because there's too much nuance that I don't have time to figure out.
Yeah, that's my issue. I don't have time to sit and play for potentially weeks, and boredom strikes in before I'd break into anywhere near like getting into that game.
That's why I like good old FIFA and Madden. You just play them, enjoy yourself, and then stop when you feel like stopping. The Division had me sleepless for days on end, and I just had to put that game away.
My cool thing then is Doc Rock. And the reason it's my cool thing is because he's just put a link in the chat room to Civilization VI Guide to Winning the Game Early.
Thank you, Ewan. I appreciate that.
I love you. I love you. Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam? I haven't got a pit because I've been editing video all week. I haven't come out from a pit.
You can find me, as always, over at maccast.com, or just look for Maccast on iTunes, and weekly on the iOS show at the iOS show, at the iOSshow.com, and on social media, just about everywhere, Maccastle.
Have you checked the UK store for iTunes of late? Because iOS is doing pretty well.
The iOS show?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
It's been rising steadily. Mm-hmm. I've been noticing. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Doc, where are you, mate?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK, of course, on this lovely, lovely network, and participating in a wonderful new podcast known as the Offshore Podcast. And you can find that at offshorepodcast.com.
Good man. Patrice, soon to come over here and enjoy rugby and beer. And
yeah, so, really looking forward to that.
Are you drinking Guinness with us at the rugby?
Oh, I will, yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean, with us?
With you, sure, yeah. I'm behaving. I've nearly lost 2 stone just from stopping drinking.
Ooh, wow.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, I've stopped drinking, right? I've been off the beer for 4 weeks now, and I've dropped nearly 2 stone.
Oh, what's the stone? Just
I've been thinking about the same thing.
Is it 7 pounds?
Yeah, no, I suppose it is a health thing because but it's just, it's good. I'm keeping it up. The only problem I've got is every time we've gone over to the curry house, he takes the piss out of me because I have to have chicken and chips because I can't look at curry without thinking of beer. As soon as I look at the curry, my mouth starts to water and I get the taste of beer in it.
So, Alexa, how many stones in a pound?
I could have told you that. 14.
It's 14 pounds equals 0.07 stone.
Got it. I asked you, but you ignored me, so I asked her. She answers me.
So that's 28 pounds.
Yeah. Good Lord, brother.
Wow.
Oh, I got to stop drinking. This hurts.
12 kilos.
Crazy. All right.
Crazy.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, but I don't go there. Just go to thepatrice.com and you will find everything I do and all the links.
Excellent. Pitchfork is out of pocket on the watchstand already. Oh, dear. And Camps is saying he's listening to the Offshore Podcast and loves it.
It's good. Great listen. I think you're on all first 3 episodes.
The power of endorsement.
Okay, cool. So you're almost on the next one. And the good follow-up for episode 3, or episode 4, rather, there's a movie that was made by Chris Christopherson called Blood and Orchids, and it kind of covers that old school case, you know, from back World War II time. So there's that, and then there's another one on PBS, which I'll send you a link to if you want some follow-up information on the old school case in order to help it parallel with the new school case.
Mm. I've had to give up on My Dad Wrote a Porno. I can't. It's too commercial now.
I have as well, Ewan.
It's shit.
So I'm retracting that pick from a couple of weeks ago.
It was okay because I really enjoyed season 1, but series 2, it's just like, oh, let's cha-ching, let's cash in.
Yeah.
And the story bullocks.
What was that?
My Dad wrote a Porno. I thought, hang on, this might be genuine. But now I've got through season 1. I was having my suspicions at the end of season 1, but now in season 2, it's definitely not written by his dad.
Yeah.
It's bollocks. Yeah. It's just, it was a nice, fun thing to start with, but now it's just gone to up their own arse.
Agree.
And that's not a reference to what goes on in the book. So, Camps, where are you, mate?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter. Occasionally, I'm here on The Mac Show, most weeks on The Big Show, and writing some reviews on BritishTechNetwork.com /reviews for have a read.
If you've got a review that you've got for a product that you just bought, send it to us and we'll post it up and give you credit for it. Yeah, it goes to anyone who listens. It doesn't have to be anyone that's in the elite circle. Just send it to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com and we'll forward it on to Righty, and Righty's the man who's our filter, though. So it might get a bit of sub-editing, or it might get a bit of you can't say that. So, but there you go. And Bob Peach is pointing out as well that there's numbers of pounds in a stone. It's not the other way around, Doc.
I figured it out because she gave me the backwards answer.
Oh, that was me. Whoa. Sorry.
Sorry, mate. Someone came around today and I impressed them with Alexa. They said, when was the 25th? And I said, Alexa, what day was the 25th of October? And she said, that was a Tuesday. Sorry, whoever I've switched on. That was mine. I've switched mine on. she was well impressive. Siri, on the other hand, is still, every time I say, hey, Tim, she just tells me where the cinemas are. I can't get anything else out of her at the moment.
Yeah, I had that experience.
And she's got the question right. What's the postcode, or what was the day of the week, or what's 16 divided by 6? And she goes, these are the cinemas near you. Just as cinemas.
This morning, I think it took me 15 tries to lock my home. I was leaving, and I usually just tell my Apple Watch, hey, I'm leaving. And every single time she understood something different. She never did what I wanted her to do.
Oh, dear. I think that Siri's got post-traumatic stress disorder or something like
probably.
That.
Probably. Slightly.
I feel bad. I feel like I've been like boarded her for the hotter looking chick or something, because Alexa is so good. Alexa is just so good. And then, sorry, let me turn you on mute. Don't say anything, lady.
Just Jeff.
Sorry, I can't
be quiet, woman. So it's funny because she's so good that I just talk to her all the time, and then I'll say something to Siri and then she won't answer me, and I'll literally yell back at her like she can listen to me. And so Karen kind of cracks up, but then even now that I made that, you know, the cool thing about Alexa is I can, like, Karen can have an account, right? So she switches to her account, she orders some things or whatever, and it's funny, but she's like, yeah, this one's way smarter than the other one. But now she keeps asking her to change the channel, and I'm like, no, that's Hey Cortana. And so we got all three of them in the living room right now, and it's a little bit wacky. So I'm trying to buy that. Anybody bought the Logitech Harmony thing yet that will allow Alexa to handle what Cortana does for my Xbox?
Oh, I don't know.
Nope.
Man, I guess I got to be the guinea pig. It's $100.
You know, you do realize as well that Siri's going through the withdrawal phase at the moment of your relationship, and the fact that she's got to watch you interfacing with another woman, right?
Yeah.
And that's going
right to front of her.
That's going to turn to anger soon. So pretty
crazy, you know, ex-girlfriend.
Exactly. Pretty soon you're going to be getting a left turn off a bridge out of her that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
And that's you done then, pal.
Dude, that's going to be the basis of my article when I finish my review for the Echo. It's going to be how Siri's starting to just, like, put me in peril because she's jealous.
And that's why we don't want autonomous cars, because when that BMW sees you glance at a Tesla and takes you straight into the opposite side of the highway to teach you a lesson.
Oh, I'm safe there. I personally don't like Teslas. Their body style is so bleh.
Yep.
Let's see if we can make this gap, Doc. I guess not.
Here comes a lorry doing like freaking 50 miles an hour and just, oh yeah, turn right in front of this bad boy.
Is Siri got the teenage jump? It's not old enough yet. That's coming. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We're going to be back again next Thursday with the Mac Show all over again. And if you like listening, then great, carry on listening. Thanks to everyone who does bother to give us a review and put something down. We do appreciate it. We'll read anything out that comes. And if you don't like listening to the show and you throw a strop and say, I'm never listening to the show again, just actually don't listen to the show again. Don't do it under an assumed name, because that's really sad. Oh my God.
100%. I may have figured out why iOS show is going up the ranks in the
you paid somebody
UK
reviews.
It was a recent episode. I just dropped a link into the
was it click
the chat
clickbait
Clickbait.
The anal log hole.
Oh, that's the one.
No, no, no. But we did an episode called the analog hole. And look how
phone.
It came up on most people's systems, including on iTunes, where it gets truncated.
Yeah, it did.
Oh.
The anal log hole.
Look at the image in the chat.
That link's bad.
No, link's working just fine.
Oh, it's come. I don't do Dropbox. They're wankers.
I tweeted Adam and Jeff about that. When was it? About a week ago.
Oh yeah, why is that not working?
Is that because of the Toblerone thing? Is that why it's getting a load of clicks?
No, it came up on everybody's screen. It says, "I love the anal."
Yeah, now it's not working anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see that on my phone.
Hang on.
I dropped it in my public folder on Dropbox. Does that not work anymore?
I got it. So
tilt it forwards.
The link was working a minute ago.
Tilt it forwards, Camps. I love the anal.
That may be what caused the uptick.
I'm naming one of my episodes that I love the analog just because this is genius.
I was driving and glanced up to see that.
Oh, well, at least the truth's out there, Adam.
Oh, God.